All right. Now, this is a topic that we probably need the rest of the day on. Dealing with adultery. I don't know anyone in here who hasn't been touched by someone in an adulterous situation, whether you've counseled, whether it's the women or the men or both or families or a church, helping a church deal with this situation here. Well, it's not easy. There's a lot of variables, and you'll see as we go through the notes. I filled your notes in. There's a lot of information there. I'm not going to be able to go point by point, but there are so many different aspects to it, and as I said, variables. Sometimes, I mean, it's adultery with a family member. Sometimes it's someone of the same sex. Sometimes it's a church leader. And every one of those things sends out shockwaves, and some greater than others. And if there's children involved in anyone's family and how they're affected, and on it can go. When I prepared this seminar some years ago, and even going over it, I listed the various case situations that I've been involved in. And man, I'm seeing the names, and I remember the whole situation. And there's a lot of them. And they're never easy. They're never easy. The devastation in families and marriages, in churches, seeing just that devastation. Pray as we go through this that we can look at the six key elements that we encourage everyone in counseling to follow, right? The involvement, the hope, gathering information, interpreting that information biblically, then instruction, and then some form of homework or practical growth projects of some sort of applying the word. Those six elements are what I've divided up this seminar in, and we'll kind of walk through it. But I was seeing, well, they were good friends of ours. There's a pastor, there's a woman director, there's a family member, a sibling, pro sports players, managers, just a lot of different scenarios, all different. Here's one guy I knew. He was encouraging his wife to build a friendship with this woman, and they ran off together. He had no idea that his wife had the same-sex temptation going on, and he was encouraging, go on a camping trip. And then he found out, and it was devastating. And with children, and the children were all brought in on that. So I could go on, but you get it. I think all of you have been touched one way or the other, or maybe even personally been sinned against in this way. I think it's very clear in the scriptures that adultery originates in the heart. We're an adulterous culture, a very immoral, sensuous culture. And by sensuous, I don't mean just sexual. I mean they give in to however they feel on any issue. Sensuality isn't just sexual. It's they just live by their senses versus self-control. So we have a culture like that. It's just really pushing it on every angle, every place you turn, you're facing this. But adultery, and Jesus made this clear in Mark chapter 7, when he said to his disciples, and even to those that were accusing his disciples of being defiling themselves by eating without washing first, he said, "Are you without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled?" And thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. So when you're ministering in any kind of a situation like this where adultery is involved, and whoever the perpetrator was or the offender, it came from their heart. Yes, outside pressures, maybe upbringing influenced them some, but they chose and it came from their own hearts. And I think it's a good reminder of a good biblical anthropology, because some people will blame all kinds of things. You know, I'm not perfect, I'm only human, and on it goes. You've heard all of the different rationalizations. But we're going to kind of move through here. The first would be just personal involvement. And in your notes, and it's not going to be a lot of new things here or additional that you need to fill in, but I'll comment on a few things. Involvement, we're really focusing on persons, people. It's not a problem I'm dealing with, it's a person with a problem, maybe many problems, but it's a person. And have to remember that we're dealing with people created in the image of God, and by their behaviors, they have eclipsed the glory of God in their life. And we want to care for both the offender and the offended. And you have to be very careful here. I've seen churches, boy, all their attention goes on the offender. You know, this guy or the woman, whoever it was that went outside a marriage, they get an intense amount of focus. What are we going to do in church discipline and all this stuff? What about the innocent person? So you have to remember that when you're counseling or at your church, that you are caring for both of them. So just involvement with them and caring for them. The children, that's a whole nother issue. If there's children, what ages? What do they know, what they don't know? Sometimes dad's no longer here. What happened to dad? Why is he not here in our house? Or mom, where did mom go? And so it depends on the age of how much they can handle. And age-appropriate information. And they're going to hear things from other people. And having an open door of saying, if you hear anything about your parents and you have questions, please talk to us. Call me, you know, that kind of thing. Have an open door. Follow up with them. Children are, they'll hear different things, maybe even from their innocent parent or their guilty parent, and to try to persuade them to follow them rather than the other. It's just really caring for people and for both of them. A giving of hope. So when we're not even sure where they're at, spiritually sometimes, one guy, I remember he said he had committed adultery when he was traveling. He was a pilot. Well, it wasn't once. That's all he told us. It happened once. But as we would meet more, oh, yeah, there were multiple at different places where they flew. Oh, well, it went from a snapshot of maybe like a David, a one-time adultery. Now we're dealing with an adulterer. He's habit pattern. Well, that's a big difference. But how do you give hope to someone? I try to stay with God is greater than whatever problems we're going to encounter. I don't know if I'm dealing with a believer or unbeliever sometimes. But this truth is true about God, whether you need salvation or sanctification. God is who he is. And looking at Exodus chapter 34 and even Jeremiah 32 brings this point up. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. So he created